Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by writer, talk show host, and all-around badass millennial and smarty hottie Zara Berry. We're getting into so many hot topics, including tips for bi-curious women, what we can really learn from breakups and hookups, and how to casually date today. And I promise you, some really, really, really good oral sex tips. My favorite. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Sex relationships and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can have a goddamn party at our website now. Have you not been there lately? Because, you know, every day we're posting blogs, videos, everything you need to have better sex and relationships. And it's really easy to subscribe to our website, all of our social media, just amazing content there. We're at Sex with Emily across the board, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. And I love you all. Thank you for listening. And I'm really excited for my guest here today.
Hi, Zara. So excited to be here.
This is so fun.
And I'm honestly a huge fan of yours. And I have been for a long time, like way before I started writing about sexuality on the internet.
How did you find it?
I think through Dr. Drew. I'm a big Dr. Drew fan.
Oh, you are? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I mean, I grew up with like the Loveline era. Right. You know, I was a little young, but like I had older siblings. So yeah, I think I like discovered you through him maybe. And then I just think what you do is so amazing.
Thank you.
Like you're such a sex positive voice and that's so needed.
Well, that's why you're here because you're kicking ass. I mean, I love Zara. We met actually in New York.
Yes.
At the expo in September.
I think it was September. I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe. Oh my God, this year's been insane. Oh, that was last year.
Yeah.
But who knows where the time has gone. And Zara, she's a New York-based writer, a talk show host, and I love all your writing. I mean, it's like she writes about sexuality, heartbreak, fashion, emotional discontent. It's like a roller coaster reading. Yourself like in a good way, like exhilarating and you know, breakups and breakthroughs and breakdowns and just sex. It's all just so good. So I'm so glad you're here. You're going to share your insights on dating, mating, navigating sex
all
as a millennial. I can't wait for you guys to hear what she has to say. Like, how are you doing?
I'm good.
You're in LA.
Like, loving being in LA. And it's really, it's been actually really interesting because I lived here when I was like very young. I moved here when I was 17 and I lived here till I was 22. And it was just like kind of when I sort of came out as a lesbian.
Right.
And I was like going to all these crazy like lesbian, it was just like, it was like a very, my, I worked at Fred Siegel. Like it was just like, it was very lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, but it was like this big coming of age time for me. And to come back now at 30 and kind of like, now I'm a writer and I sort of have like more direction and focus in my life. LA is like a different experience.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
LA is like, gets such a bad rap, and all the things that people think about LA in that way are true. Yeah. People are here to find the dream. And yeah. There's a lot of superficial, you know, things going on, people and the whole business, and everyone's out for their own good and yeah. wants to see what you could give them. They're superficiality. Yeah. But you find your people and you find your space, and there is a lot of sophistication here and culture and things going on. Are good people.
And like everybody's so nice.
I know, right?
Like everybody's chatting. I like, as a New Yorker, it's almost like I was in culture shock. I was telling my brother and my sister both live here, and I was like, I'm in total actual culture shock right now. No, like everyone's making small talk. Everyone's smiling. The sun is shining. I was like, what is going on?
It's true. No, it's true. And you would think people are like, oh, LA, everyone's kind of snobby. No. It's not like that at all. And even say, I used to live in San Francisco. I moved here like 4 years ago, and everyone says like San Francisco is like, everyone's really snotty and they're really like, people are just, what do they say there? They're very clicky and like, they don't talk to you. But here it's like, yeah, it's true. I realize it. They're just like, I think it is the weather. They're happy. Yeah. Finally the sun's out, because it's been raining for 6 weeks and it's like, I'm apoplectic. I'm like, when did this happen? Like, didn't it used to be nice here? Like, you forget.
Yeah.
But no, it's good. It's fun. I'm glad you're here hanging out, but you're going to go back to New York. You're not going to move here.
Well, right? I would like to do like a bi-coastal. I mean, that's sort of my dream. Yeah.
You're like a writer. You can do that anywhere.
Yeah. I feel like also since I've been here, I have like all this new content. Like, I'm always writing about New York. It's always this character in my articles.
It is. Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, LA is like the sexy new character that's come in, and I can't wait to write about it. And like, it's just, and everyone here is so eccentric. I feel like people, and more so, New York is much more focused and serious. And I feel like LA is kind of wild.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's interesting. So what do you mean by that exactly? Like, just that people are kind of, like, they're not as driven. I mean, they're driven, but not in the same New York way. Like, sort of casual. Like, that is a sort of more of a casual, open.
Yeah. Like, and just fashion-wise, like, New York gets this reputation as this like fashion forward risk taking town, and it is, but not, I mean, LA is like,
I know
there
are
some freaks. Well, I mean, and I say that as a compliment, but like there are some wild freaks walking around the city.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can't stop staring at people's outfits. And like, my brother lives in Highland Park. Have you ever been over there?
Yeah, a little bit.
And like, everyone's like, it's almost like as if I was a costume designer and I was like trying to style people as like LA hipsters. It's like everyone is so perfectly unstyled, like their hair is messy and the tattoos, and it's just like, it's hilarious.
Is it kind of like Brooklyn though in that way, or Brooklyn's more,
I think,
hipster?
Brooklyn is like a little still more tame. Yeah. I think LA is wilder.
I love hearing this through other people's eyes. So have you been like out, are you single now, are you dating?
No, I'm in a relationship
with the woman I met.
Yes, Megan.
Okay, got it. Megan.
Yeah,
she's great. Okay, because I thought maybe you broke up, because I was reading your writing about, you went through a breakup like in January, and I'm like, oh,
yes,
no, they
I
broke
did.
Up.
Yeah. No, not in January. That was like last January.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. I thought it was 2018. I was like, oh my God, she was so great. But then got it. So you guys are committed relationship.
Like living together.
Wow.
I know.
Okay. That's good. Okay. Cause then I thought you'd have some good sex stories for me here.
Yes. Of course. Well, but great sex stories.
But here though, in LA, you haven't had like sex since you've been here.
I just thought you might
give me some.
Oh
some
yeah. No.
Okay.
No,
that's
sex.
Cool. But God knows she's got some great sex
I've
stories.
I've got some great stories.
Like enough to last a lifetime, that it doesn't matter if you had any great sex in the last week. So we are going to get into all your amazing stories and life experiences, a lot for the age of 30 that you've been through and that you share. And I love that you write with like out abandon, like you really are your authentic self and share a lot in your writing. It's great. So I'm so excited for you and all your success. And if you want to read, we'll give all this on our website, but ZaraBerry.com.
ZaraBerry.com, yes.
B-A-R-R-I-E. Okay, so let's do some sex in the news. Will you join me?
Yes.
Okay. Dating burnout is totally a thing, and here's how to fix it. So Singles in America is a survey that Match.com puts out every year, and they found that a whopping 54% of women felt dating burnout for looking for a partner. If you ever dated, especially since the rise of dating apps, you know exactly what that's like. Going on dates can be exhausting in the best of circumstances. So it makes sense that a good number of women are just over it because dating takes up time.
Yeah.
It really does. Like I feel like, have you done the apps before?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Like, heavily. I mean, I'm the girl I'm with now, I met on Tinder. My last relationship, I met on OkCupid. The one before that, Tinder. I mean, I'm all about the app life.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you get this, that it can be like, you know, you can feel like it's really unproductive. You go on bad dates. It can be frustrating. Like you feel like you're not making really good connections. And it goes on to say that dating is harder now than it's ever been. And I'd like to readdress that, go back to that in a minute, but it says it's so encompassing and, whether we're looking for a partner, friend, lover, companion, potential co-parent, and a CEO of a potential family, you know, kind of like we're looking for more now. We're looking for everything, which I think is also a problem to think that one person can fill all those needs.
100%.
But like whatever the case may be, it can be frustrating. So how do you know if you've crossed into burnout territory? Well, you might have started canceling dates at the last minute, find yourself having the same conversation with dates repeatedly, or you just don't feel excited to go out with new people. And also your expectations can come into play. If you just want to have a good time, but you aren't necessarily looking for something serious, you're probably not burned out. You might be annoyed that the dates aren't as fun, but you're not burned out. But if you're looking for a relationship and you really want to like find that person, you could be overwhelmed with the process. So there's some tips in here, like give yourself a break, like skip dating for a while and like be grateful for all you have in your life and don't focus on the lack, which is kind of a life lesson that you should practice, I think.
I think everyone needs to remember relationships are all around them. It's not just the relationship, you know, with a lover, but think about your friendships and all the like the relationship with your family. I mean,
it's so true.
We put that like romantic relationship, I think, unnecessarily on such a pedestal.
I absolutely agree. It's like the goal. Yeah. And then once we get that relationship, we're going to be happy and everything's going to be fine.
And we never are.
We never are. like I always say, like grass is always greener, like on the other side of it. Like the couples look really happy when you're single. And then what was it that Chris Rock said something like either you want to be single or you want to be lonely, or you make a choice of relationship. You want to be lonely or bored.
Yeah.
I'm just saying for people like you're in a relationship, you're kind of bored, or you're single and you're lonely. It's like just choose lonely or bored. And I don't know that that's kind of the cynical version of it, but it's like wherever you're at, just kind of be happy where you're at. Yeah. And like, I mean, and look at your life and the abundance and that, you know, they do say that when you're not looking, it seems cliche to say that when you're not looking, that's when you find someone. But I do think, and you've written a lot about breakups, which we're going to get into, but like there's such good work you could do on yourself, like being alone and like being on your own and figuring out what you really want. Because I think if that's your goal and you're looking to like check things off the list, like you're not going to find that person. You're not going to be happy.
And I also think when you have that obsession, like I need to find a husband or a wife right now, I think that you sort of, you repel people because you have this desperation about you. And I think in our culture, desperation is the number one turnoff.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we always say like when we're dating, why, like, you know, I'm in a relationship now and I feel like way more girls hit on me than when I'm single. You know, just because like I have this confidence about me because I'm not looking and I'm actually just trying to get to know people and I'm doing my own thing and I'm independent, and that's sexier than when I'm at the bar and I'm on the prowl and I'm desperate and I'm defeated and, you know, all that.
Desperation, what is it, an ugly cologne? What's that saying?
It's I never heard that.
Yeah, desperation. Who said that is like the ugly cologne? What? Look it up. I love that. I love that quote, but I can't think of it now.
It's a stinky
cologne. No. Desperation, it's like somebody, okay. So anyway, it's true. And I think if you can somehow embody that confidence whenever you're out and just think like, I don't know who I'm going to meet right now, but I'm just going to be myself. And I think that for women, a lot of times we're like, well, I don't want to be really open and flirty or even nice to this person to start talking because they're going to think I'm interested.
Yeah.
But I think there's a it's actually good practice to start talking to people whenever you're out. You never know who you're going to meet. And just to like, I don't know how to tell you not to be desperate when we're raised with this notion that like the most important thing in life is finding a partner. Yeah. Like we're raised as like little girls, I guess, and boys too, that like that's the holy grail.
Yeah.
I never got that message. So that's for better, for worse, why I'm where I'm at. But I know that for many, it's like Cinderella. Like,
I never got that message either. Right. And I'm blown away. I feel like I've been living under a rock because I would have like 23-year-olds at my job. Like, well, I'm going to be 25. So, you know, I need to start getting serious. And I'm like, 25? I'm 30. I'm not ready to get married. I'm not ready to have children. I'm nowhere near. Like, I'm career focused, adventure obsessed, you know, like that's not even on my radar, that I can't believe, like it blows my mind every time I hear women say that they feel like
they're. So you hear that still
all
from
the
women.
Time.
I guess I feel like it's changing a little bit, but.
I think in New York and LA, it's definitely like it's my different. Friends in New York and LA are not as obsessed with that. But as soon as I venture out and I'm in suburbia, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like that's the obsession.
Well, because there's nothing else to do.
There's
either.
Nothing else
like,
to do.
Like where I grew up in Michigan, like everybody was definitely married by 30.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, sometimes I think. Maybe that, not that I would have stayed in Michigan, but it's a little easier. Like you kind of don't have a lot of options. Like that's what you do if you choose to stay there. But when you're in New York and LA and the coastal cities, maybe it's a little coastal towns, coastal cities, it's a little different. But I do think that it's like, again, like this notion that you're supposed to find someone. I'm like, we're not told as little girls. I've just been thinking about this lately. Like maybe one day, like I'll graduate, you know, from college and then I'll like go break these glass ceilings.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll have this great job or I'll have this, you know, six, you know, figure job, but it's like, yeah, just get the person. So I think even if we might know that, or even we start, even though times are different now, there's still this like, I'm broken or I'm empty if I don't find a person.
Yeah.
So it's like taking out that desperation. And if you're feeling like you are, going back to the story, like if you do feel like you're burnt out, then like take a break. Like you're not running out of time.
Or just have fun with it. Like that's my whole motto on, like I love dating personally and I've gone on terrible dates and I've gone on amazing dates, but if I'm feeling bored on the date, then I'll just have fun. I'll start laying out my red flags, see kind of how far I can push them. I mean, it sounds a little crazy, but
I
always say
it.
That. Yeah. Like just enjoy it. Like, okay, you know, if this person is boring, at least we're at this great restaurant. I'll just have fun. I'll have another glass of wine and, you know.
That's so true. Like, it's almost like.
It's not that serious.
Yeah, it's like a job interview. Like, they always say you should take any job interview, like, when you're really looking for jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not so into this person. It's a good practice.
Yeah.
So you, like, lay out your red flags?
I have. You know, it's the first time I did it, it was an accident. I've written about this.
I saw it. No, I read
and,
your.
I just sort of word vomited, like, every red flag. I was like, oh, you know, like. I had a sip of wine and I was like, oh, you know, I just started Prozac, so I don't know how I can interact with wine. And then I was like, then I realized that was weird. And then I like overlaughed. And then I was like looking, I remember there was this weird painting behind the girl. And I was like, ooh, this painting is really making my obsessive compulsive disorder flare. I was like really just going for it. Right. And I couldn't stop myself. And then I realized that she was more drawn to me than usual.
I was just going to say that, right? Of course.
Yeah.
Because it's so refreshing when people are who they are. And
totally.
They're real and they're authentic. And I think that's what people would know that when they see it, they're like, yeah, that's so real. Most people are just like, you know, we always say you bring your representative on your first few dates because we're not really ourselves. But you're like, so do you found that like even now after that, when you meet people, you're more open like that?
Definitely.
And
definitely.
Now it's all on the internet. Google.
That's the most freeing thing about my job is that like everything, like I've already done, I've like ripped the Band-Aid off. I've written about the most embarrassing things that could happen to a person that like when I meet people, you know, they can just Google and find out. So I might as well just be open and real about
How freeing that is.
It's so freeing.
Right?
Especially as someone who grew up like, not that way, you know.
Your
like,
parents are much more.
My parents are very open. My mother is a character. She's British. She's fabulous, but and very open about sex. But I think just in general, you know, I grew up in Connecticut, and it was very like wealthy, perfectionist, you know, sort of WASPy kind of territory. And I've never naturally been that person.
Right.
And I think, you know, I always felt like a little alienated because I always have been just blazingly honest that this job has just been like to actually now like make money off of just being yourself and telling your stories and sharing your experiences. It's like very empowering.
It is.
Yeah.
Right. And you're such a good, it's such a good example, right? I think that everyone can kind of learn from this because I think that we're so afraid to show who we really are when we're dating or in life. And I guess we're like, well, I could never tell my boss. And it's like, I was joking with this last week, but like, and I'm not saying you should all do this, but like when Madison was crying in her job interview, is that bad to say again? I love Madison. But like,
it was like the deal breaker thing.
But for what? Right. But it was like you were going through something. I'm like, but that's real. I'm not saying you guys cry. I'm just saying,
no.
I don't know why I'm upset with Madison. She's been here for 3 years. I'm like, I think it's funny, but it's just true that we just think that we're told, and we all know what's going on with everyone else. We're supposed to present this front.
Yeah.
That's just not authentic. So the more I think examples of people doing it like you are, you know, I don't have anything to hide on this show. God, it's been 11 years.
Yeah.
I think I've said so much.
That's I think is so refreshing about your show is that it is so real and honest and raw. And I think that people are really hungry for that in this like filtered Instagram kind of life, you know?
Right, exactly.
Like,
although I
know,
I do filter my pictures everywhere.
I do all of it.
No, but you're so right. It's funny because I went on a date the other night with a guy and he was like, I just came from doing shows. He's like, oh my God, are you like, do you have to like
are you exhausted? Like, do you just switch like from Emily, sex with Emily to who you are now? I'm like, I'm exactly the same person.
The same person.
Like,
yeah.
I might be a little more articulate on the air because I know that people are listening. No, but I mean, I might, I don't know. It's just funny. Yeah. Like, I don't think I have to like say certain things here and be a different person.
Me too. Me
in the world, right?
Yeah.
Very, very frank. So, okay. So to wrap this up, you're right. You said to have fun on dates is a great thing. I was also going to say that like, think about dating as something that like enhances your plans and like not like makes your plans. So maybe you've already been wanting to go to the museum or go to the restaurant. Like, bring that person along with you. If you could kind of switch your views of dating and how you date, and then it's not just like a to-do list item, but it's like, oh, well, I gotta go out. I wanna go do this thing anyway.
Yeah.
Bring someone else along. So, okay, we are going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and we're gonna talk more about sex, all the stuff you guys love. So, thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. We love you. We're back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, everyone, I'm back here with Zara Berry. And Zara, you're awesome. This is so fun. I'm so excited because I was like reading through all of your writing and social media. Yes. Oh my God. I'm like, wow. It was exhilarating, you know, like it's a thrill. It's a thrill to read everything, like your heartbreaks and your sexcapades, like I said, and like breakthroughs. And so like, let's talk about a little bit like where you are today.
Okay.
So you say like you're a mascara lesbian.
A mascara lesbian. Mascara. Yeah.
A mascara.
Well, I say is that like ambition? Because my mother's English, and for some reason that's like the only word I can't say mascara. Like I've tried.
I'm from the Midwest, like air. I say long A's.
I would try because I get made fun of, but no. So I say mascara lesbian, but I guess it would be mascara lesbian.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Like lipstick lesbian.
Like lipstick lesbian, but I never identified with lipstick lesbian because when I think of making out, I don't think of wearing, I love lipstick, but like if I'm feeling hypersexual, I wear like a nude lip because I want to make out. Otherwise it looks like a bloody scene, you know?
Right.
So I identify with mascara lesbian. I love mascara.
Right. Well, you have great eyelashes.
Oh, thank you.
Looks amazing. So as you should. So, you've had a whole bunch of different sexual experiences.
Yes. Yes. With lots. Yes.
Okay. And so now you're in a committed relationship with a woman.
Yes.
And so what I think is interesting though is that you've gone through a lot. Like you, when you were younger, tell me about your like sexual, when you first discovered you were.
You know what? I think I was talking about this with a friend last night. I first discovered that I was a lesbian when I was in the 7th grade and I got drunk with a bunch of my friends. Like we like stuck. It was like very like typical suburban dark story where like a bunch of like kids in the suburbs like raid the liquor like cabinet. And then we all ended up sort of like making out. And I remember afterwards and giving each other hickeys. We're like, oh, let's practice kissing. And I'm pretty sure I instigated it. But and then afterwards they were all laughing about it. And I remember feeling like, oh, like this kind of meant something to me. And like I could tell it didn't mean anything to them. It was just like, you know, like a friendly, you know, how kids experiment with each other, whatever. But for me, it like haunted me and I couldn't stop thinking about it. And then I like started thinking about boys and I was like, I realized that there was a disconnect.
Okay.
And I knew what lesbians were.
Right.
You know, I have liberal parents. I knew what they were, but I just also didn't, there wasn't lesbians in the media at that time.
No.
There was Ellen was kind of.
That's like it. Right.
That's it. You know, and I love Ellen to death, but I don't necessarily identify with her. So I was like, I was very confused because I'm so feminine, you know?
Well, you are. So, but that's the thing. Is that you're like, I feel like you're probably always getting hit on by men. Not as much anymore.
Feel,
or tell
so
me, explain
weird.
That to me. Yeah.
I actually am like so rarely around straight men. I feel like I'm always around women and gay men that when I am around straight men and they start hitting on me, I'm bewildered, you know?
Really? But do you come out and say like, what do you do? Are you like,
sometimes I play along for a second and then I'll like go in for the kill and mention my girlfriend just cause it's funny to sort of see. I mean, that sounds
they're
so evil.
No, but they're like shocked, right? Like they're always like, what? Like, cause they don't, I mean, you typically don't see, I mean, you do, we're in LA, we're everywhere, but you see it, but you don't also typically.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I get it.
But I often will talk to straight men, you know, as if they're just like bros, and I'll start talking. And then when
they probably
realize,
like you because of that, though,
yeah,
right? Because you're so comfortable.
Yeah. But then when they sort of connect it and they realize that I'm a lesbian, they're like, oh shit, you know, like I'm freaked out. But
and do they ever be like, I can let's
turn
just try
you?
To, yeah,
that, yeah.
I had a guy say to me, a gay guy says, like, well, what do you say? Like, if I went straight, I'm like, really? Are we really having these conversations? Like, you're not going to go straight because of me. And like,
yeah.
It's like, you're like, this is so boring. Are you really having this conversation? Okay. So you wrote about, you've written a lot of things, but you wrote about like sex myths about lesbian sex.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that like, you know, I've been doing, you know, I've done thousands of podcasts and stuff, and I've had gay, straight, so many different people on the show. But I think that like, lesbian sex still really is this mystery to a lot of men and women. I mean, if they're just like confused by it, or they're like, do you hate penises? Like, how does it really happen? What, like lesbian Beth, what is it?
Bed death
syndrome, all that stuff. But let's talk about like some of the myths.
Let's see. And I think you're so right. People are like fascinated by lesbian sex because I think that we are, lesbians in general are very elusive creatures.
Right.
I think gay men are more putting themselves out there, more open, but we're
absolutely
like a little mysterious.
People like don't, they really like, they're so confused. And I know like it's been a while since I've had someone like on the show, like I've had lesbians, gay, we don't get into it because like I feel like people know, but with you, it's like, this is what you do and you talk about it. So let's shed some light for some people.
Yeah. And I mean, look, for a long time, I always tell people this. People would say to me when I first came out, like, what's lesbian sex? And I'd be like, I'm not telling you, but it was because I didn't know.
Right,
and I was too embarrassed.
And I'll then, get like, back to you on that.
Yeah. Girls would be like, oh, like, did you have sex with her? And I'd be like, no, but I wasn't sure if I actually did because I didn't know what it was either.
How do you define sex?
I mean, how do you define sex? And there's like that's the other thing is that different lesbians define it differently. So some lesbians would say, you know, when you use a strap-on, it's sex, or when you any kind of penetration is sex or oral sex. And I just say anytime someone has an orgasm to me, it's sex. And when I said that to my girlfriend, she was like, oh, well, my number just got cut in half. Like, she like went down in how many people she thought she had slept with because she didn't define it like
that. Okay, yeah. Because some people are like, oh, orgasm. It's not about the orgasm. It's about the connection. So people think it's just like there's no, I guess people think it's there's no penis. Well, there aren't penises, but like dildos or there's just, I don't know, oral. Or I mean, what are some of the.
The things I hear a lot are, definitely scissoring, people are like, that doesn't happen. For some reason, straight people are really protective of me with these kind of things. And my old editor would be like, oh, come on, people don't scissor. Like, Zara, isn't that stupid? People think like lesbian scissor. And I'm like, oh, I scissor.
Yeah, right. With your legs, like your legs are coming together. Like, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel really
I mean,
good.
I think
see,
it's complicated.
I would scissor. Right.
Yeah.
But it's not. Like, not every night. Like
not every night, but, like, people do. And I think people are always like, oh, that's a porn thing. But I scissor. I'm Zara Berry, and I scissor.
You're totally okay with that.
So what else do I hear? I think that people think that we're all experts on oral sex, too.
Well, I hope you are, because I was hoping to pick your brain.
I mean, I'm an expert on oral sex. That's only just because I've had a lot of practice. But you know, it took me a while, too. First time I went down there, like, just because I have the same parts doesn't mean I know what I'm doing. And women, every woman's body is so different.
Right.
And what she likes, I feel like with men and my experiences with men, it's pretty straightforward what they like.
Yeah.
And women, it's like each woman has a different trigger point. Some women, you know, like penetration. Some hate penetration. And each time you get a woman in front of you, you have to figure it out. You have to figure out what she likes and listen to her body. And I've definitely had plenty of sexual experiences with women where they didn't know, you know, what they were doing. It was like being with a guy almost.
Do they have women? Oh, they don't know what they're doing with you?
Yeah.
Do you feel
we're
like
not all great lovers, unfortunately?
No, we're really not. But it can be taught.
I think so, yeah.
I exist here on the planet. But I feel like, and do you have a lot of women coming to you of like, oh, I haven't been with a woman and I want to be with you?
Yeah. I get people more of like come to me for tips. Like I have a lot of like readers that are bi curious and, you know, I don't even know how to talk to a woman. And that's why I try and talk about this stuff so openly, because I remember being like that.
Yeah,
you know,
started out there. So we get a lot of questions like that as well. So, and I know you've written about this extensively too, but what are some tips for women who are like, Jamie, who's in the other room who works for me, she was like just saying on the show last week that she's like, if it happened, like I might be interested. And I think there's a lot of women who just feel like more open about it, but they would not know where to start. So what would be some tips?
I mean, I think that the best thing to do if you're bi curious is to get on Tinder, honestly, and be upfront and just say that you are bi curious or bisexual and that you're, you know, looking to experiment, but you're inexperienced, because you don't want to. What lesbians hate is sort of being fooled. Like they don't want, like say they go on a date with you and then you realize, ooh, you know, I'm not into this. I'm only into men. It doesn't feel good.
Right.
You know?
Just like we wouldn't like it if a guy came up, you know, shut up and he was, you know, whatever. Married,
you don't want to be
misrepresenting himself.
Totally. You don't want to be anybody's experiment. But then there are plenty of women who are down to experiment with you. So just be open about it. Be honest. I mean, there are plenty of women who are actually, I know tons of lesbians who are turned on by being the teacher. I'm not.
Right.
You know, I like someone who's more experienced than I am personally. I feel like I'm a leader in so many aspects of my life, like sexually, please.
That's how I feel too.
Do you feel like that?
Yes, because I've been out with guys lately. I'm just like, I know he could use my help so much, but like I help like millions of people do the podcast every week. Yeah. I don't want to teach this guy. Like I want him to learn. I just want to be like, listen to some episodes and then we'll like go out again.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. So you want someone who's, I get it.
Who I can
this
learn
is our
from.
Job.
Totally.
Like I want like off time when I'm having sex.
Me too.
But I do think it's true. Yeah. I'm trying to think about, and I've like experimented, I've dabbled and I'm trying to think of what I think I just, maybe it was a little confusing at first, but you just, I mean, you just kind of like be honest.
Yeah.
And then
I
once
think,
you get down there, like, what did I do? I'm trying to remember. I was a little drunk.
I mean, definitely with women, communication. You know, women like it, like I think, in my experience, like women love when you ask them what they like. And just, you don't have to pretend like you have it all figured out. Just be like, does this feel good? What do you like? You know, you can even say like, I don't really know what I'm doing. Can you help me? And I think a lot of like women are into that. They want to help you and also like listen to her body. I feel like with men, women, everybody, I'm sure you feel this way.
Yeah.
Like if she, you can tell if someone's responding to you. So don't get so in your head and worry about what you're doing and instead put your focus on the person.
Right. Get out of your head, everyone.
Get out of your head.
I think that we're so worried about what they're thinking and how they, but the information's right there.
Yeah.
Like pay attention. Like, cause you know, is her breath changing? Is she moving towards you, away from you? Like there's a lot you can tell.
Yeah.
In the moment. But I think just like, you know, our brains are, you know, large, biggest enemies sometimes.
I think
that's
the best sex tip I ever got was, it's funny. Cause my mother used to always, I was always shy growing up and she'd say, okay, if you're shy, put your energy on the other person, start asking them questions. And then I've sort of like translated that to sex. Like if you're feeling self-conscious, just instead fixate on their body. Like, are they in tune with you? Is this making them feel good? Are they moaning? And then before you know it, then you're into the, you're out of your head and you're into the sort of meditation of sex, which I think is when the best sex happens, when you're just sort of like when you let go, it's like dancing.
Exactly. That is
your
best.
Body knows what to do. You know,
getting
the brain.
It is the brain. The brain is, I mean, I think like so many of the questions I can answer, it's like, I feel like I can't have an orgasm or I don't know what to do. And it's like, get out of your head, but you don't want to totally like get into trance. But there is a point where it starts to flow like
to
dancing.
Flow.
You're not worrying. And it is true. Just like in life, like, you know, you got to give to receive that.
Yeah.
It's a really good tip that like when you're worried, just keep like giving.
By
giving, I mean like asking questions. Or saying like, what do you like? And I don't know, there's a lot of women though, I think I hear, they're like, oh, I don't know what I like. Like gay, straight, whatever. They're like, I don't know. And that's when I was like, just masturbate, like figure it out. Like, how did you figure out what you liked? Did you always masturbate young age?
Totally. From a very young age. I mean, and you know what's really funny as I always tell people this is that when I first masturbated, I thought that it had given me HIV. because I knew is that such a weird story. But it just goes to show like lack of education does to people, because so I knew that, you know, one of my mom's friends had passed away from AIDS. And I knew it was like something sexual, but I didn't know what sex was. And then I figured out that masturbation was something sexual, but I couldn't, you know, no one had ever talked to me about it. So I spent like 6 months in third grade, like third convinced grade. That I had HIV and that my parents were going to like hate me because I was selfish and I couldn't resist the temptation. And then finally somehow I connected the dots and it was like a huge wave. Like I remember
poor girl.
I remember being like, oh, okay, I'm fine. But yeah, I started masturbating young, and I think it's so important.
I know,
think
it's the most important thing. I know. I mean, especially for women to figure it out, because I think a lot of women feel like their partner's just going to figure it out or it'll just happen during sex. Yeah. And it just, we just know that that doesn't, for some women, that doesn't happen.
No, and like, also, like, for I me, never it didn't knew. Happen. No, me neither. And for me, I always thought that sex was like, you know, even as a lesbian growing up the way I grew up, I always thought that like it was. Sex really wasn't for women to be enjoyed. You know, it was about pleasing the other person.
Right.
And I hear that all the time. Like, and you know, you think of high school and it was like, this girl gives great head. But you never heard rumors about like, oh, well, this guy is like
never.
Great at going down on girls ever. Like,
ever.
You know,
it was, guys didn't even do it. They didn't know. You're so right. It's always about this like, or this slutty girl who was labeled as doing stuff. You're absolutely right. We are not. And I'm trying to change that. And I see with young girls I know today, like 17, like high school, they're like same thing. Like it's about pleasing the partner.
Yeah.
They don't masturbate. They don't know what makes them feel good. So if you're young and you're listening, or your parents of young children, they don't know. They're not going to figure it out on their own. It's the same thing. And it's like horrifying, because I'm like, I really think things have changed. Like, I really think that young women today, young girl, would be different with all the sex out there.
Yeah.
But it's in many ways, it's not. It's about like pleasing the guy or looking good for them or keep putting out because of like a more or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just not the case. So I think, okay, I'm going to get into more of your, I'm going to make y'all wait for her oral sex tips because I have some specific questions for you. But there's, I found it interesting in a lot of your writing, like, okay, so one of the first self-help books I read, God knows, like, when I moved from San Francisco, I was there for 20 years, like, I had, like, boxes, like, maybe 300 of them I gave away. I'm like, okay, enough. Wow. I read them all. I mean, like, I read everything. I saved all my sex books. No, I had so many of them, but one of them was, like, be the person you want to find. And I'm trying to remember the woman who wrote it. I can't recall, but it was like this Buddhist. I was really into Buddhism and meditation and all this stuff. And it was about like, we're always looking for someone to complete us. Like, or we're attracted to people that have traits that we want to have in ourselves, or the strength, or their, I remember dating guys who were like, I used to want to like be, they were writers.
Yeah.
Or they were really good public speakers. Or they just, in a lot of ways, I'm like, well, I don't have that. So I'm going to have this person like fill me up.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the confidence in myself, or I didn't even think that it was in me already. And I feel like you've written about finding your strength, like through relationships. Like it's kind of been a journey for you too.
Totally. I mean, I think I used to completely do that. And I love that quote, like be that person. And I used to always date people that were like, sometimes writers, creative people who own their own businesses, people who were doing everything that I wanted to do with my life. But like you said, I didn't and had no confidence of doing it. And then I think I just think dating is such a mirror, don't you?
Yeah,
like,
it is.
It's such a mirror in so many ways. Like it's like, so I think for me, I started becoming those things when I realized that no person was ever going to like fully satisfy me. And then at the end of the day, I was always stuck in this relationship with myself. So I might as well make that relationship whole.
It's the most important.
But it was like a hard lesson. And I think we all still struggle with it.
Absolutely.
You know,
like
but
the break, because then you talk also breakups. I was like thinking about like how people, and I talked about this, like, I think it was late last year, about how I really all, you know, oftentimes it's really easy to give advice, you know, take your own advice. But I really for this, I mean, throughout my life, I've done these things, I've had breakups, but I really was like, tell people you have to, and I started to do this, but like take that time to figure out, like you can be upset about the breakup and you can wonder like what happened and why, but really like, what did I learn from it? Is it a mirror? Like we all have responsibility. There's two of you. It takes two to tango.
Yeah.
Like you are responsible for 50% of that relationship.
Yeah.
Like even if the person was a total asshole, and take that time to like figure out who you are without a person in your life or what you can learn from every relationship, it'll just serve you so well moving on rather than just
being
a serial dater, serial monogamous, which I did that whole thing.
I did that whole thing too. And I think that I'm jealous of people when they have breakups. Honestly, I know it's gut wrenching, but it's like the perfect reset button for your entire life.
So true.
And it just like, you do the deepest work on yourself when you're heartbroken. I mean, I remember my last big heartbreak, I had like the biggest life epiphany, you know, and it just, I would have never learned that had I not been in that kind
of
pain.
What was your epiphany?
I realized how bad my self-esteem was because I had been dating somebody who was really disapproving of me. And, you know, with what I do, I get my internet trolls, but I also have like a lot of amazing followers and readers that write me the nicest messages. And I feel like they're friends almost. And I'm like, why am I dating this person who disapproves of everything that I'm doing and makes me, you know, feel shamed that I'm writing about sex? And that's the opposite of what I'm preaching. Like, right. I couldn't figure it out. And then when we broke up, I realized that her opinion of me matched my opinion of myself. Right. So I was constantly trying to change her opinion of me so I could really change my opinion of myself.
That is really,
so
really
then I had to take time being single and develop that confidence. You know, I mean, it's not perfect. I have terrible days. I struggle with so many things, but I really think had I not, like, the universe put that relationship there so I could really like do the deep work.
Yeah. I mean, I want to stop with that for a moment because I really want everyone to get this, because that is such an important message that I think a lot of us are in relationships where our partner really doesn't make us feel that good.
Yeah.
And we want to change them. You should never go into a relationship thinking you're going to change someone because you're not. They won't change unless they want to. But like that are critical, or that like our core beliefs, the things that we believe in most, they don't approve of. Like our jobs or the way we just whatever, the TV shows we want to watch or the kind of friends we hang out with. And it's like, and it's interesting to make that connection that like, if it's what we believe in so much, why aren't we giving ourselves, why aren't we standing, why would we even put up with that?
Yeah.
And I think it's because a lot of us have this you know, we're so hard on ourselves. I think we all are hard on ourselves.
We're all hard on ourselves.
So it's almost like, it was like that ex to you was like the voice in your head. Like,
it was the voice in
my head. Sorry,
you're
not working hard enough. You're not, I can't believe you're doing that. Or like, whatever mixed things. So it felt sort of comfortable because you beat yourself up. I beat myself up as well. So it's like, well, at least someone else is doing it and it's comfortable.
It's comfortable.
It's comfortable. So if anyone, if you're in a relationship, this is like echoing, or if this is making sense to you, it's almost like you probably have that tape in your head as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's so interesting that you were able to step outside that, and that's powerful.
And that's like the biggest thing, what you were saying. It's like when you've been in a toxic, bad, dark relationship, you can like, it's so easy to play the victim and say, this person was just horrible and I got caught up with this bad person. I don't know why. And I did that for a while. But you really have to, the deepest question is, why did I allow myself to be treated this way?
Right.
You know?
Why?
And you see confident women all the time letting their partners treat them terribly. And I think it's like, it's so telling of how they really feel about themselves. And it's so sad.
Right. Right. Because I think that's such a good point. I see it all the time. Yeah, I guess it's so, a lot of times it doesn't start out that way, or you don't know how you got into it, but it doesn't really matter. Like, I just say you should be with someone who brings out the best in you. And you probably have all, again, you've heard these things, these words.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, well, I can't find someone. No, you can find someone who celebrates like all the things. I had a friend who just went through a breakup like a few weeks ago, and she was like, he just doesn't see like, and I said this to her because she was like, well, doesn't understand why I'm always looking for new jobs or new experiences and new things. I'm like, because that's who you are. Like, that's your core.
You
that's your beauty. So he's not getting this beauty that all your friends see about you. And she was kind of like, you know, and she's been in a lot of relationships. Yeah. She's not 22, but it's like, you just, sometimes you just have to keep learning these things.
Yeah.
I know. So you said that you've dated and you've been through a lot of different things, and you talk about something that I think is really important, and that's dating with anxiety, mental illness.
Oh,
a
God.
Lot of people, I mean, everyone's on meds, everyone's on something.
Yeah.
I feel like, how has that been for you talking about that? And do you feel like more people are like, I'm taking Prozac as well, or I'm...
I think that was actually the scariest thing to write about, just because our culture stigmatizes antidepressants and... just the name mental illness.
Right.
It sounds so scary to me. And I think that, you know, I hid a lot of my problems for so long. I lived in London for like a lot of my early
20s. Oh, yeah, no one deals with anything there.
Nobody deals with anything, So I kind of stuffed it down, and that led to like, you know, the monsters aren't going to go away just because you want them to. So then that kind of led to like a big breakdown. And I harbored so much shame around it my entire life. So I was so nervous to talk about antidepressants or my experiences with having an eating disorder when I was younger. Something I still struggle with. Also just being on medication and how much it's helped me. I just felt like so shy to talk about these things. But as soon as I did, it was like amazing. I think people were hungry for it. I developed such a deeper connection. I mean, I think the reason I do what I do, and I'm sure you can relate to this, is I just want to connect with people. I love connecting with people. That's my addiction. Right. And if I'm hiding such a big part of my life from them, that connection isn't as deep.
Right.
You know?
You can never really have that. Exactly. You can't. Yeah. They don't. If you think you're someone knows all of you and it's authentic, like if you're hiding this huge part of who you are, then you're really like, there's a piece missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's and really, you know, brave. Dating with anxiety. I mean, I have chronic anxiety. I mean, terrible.
Oh my God, who doesn't? So do I. Does anyone not? Like, raise your hand. Who is not friggin' anxious? Are we talking about it more? Or are we just more anxious today? I don't know, but of course I'm anxious. So anxious.
I can't figure it out though. Are we talking about it more, or is our culture just like feeding into our anxieties with social media?
I think social media. Ugh. I think caffeine. Like, there wasn't a Starbucks. Like, I remember when I was in college, like the first coffee shop opened, it was like crazy, but it's like, I mean, it's everything, but social media and the instantaneous, like you have to get your phone.
This
thing is like an addiction.
I can't completely. It's like, such an addiction.
Eddie was going to take Snap. I'm like, nope, I can't be away from my phone during the show. Cause God, look, my mom just texted me.
You know?
Love your new TV set. Like, I need to see that during the show. That's a distraction.
But
you're right. Social media. I don't know. Everyone's anxious. And I just, I'd like to slow it down for people.
Yeah.
I'm talking really fast. Know. It's hard. It's hard. But do you ever, I don't know, I guess, what have you found helps besides like medication? Do you do?
Oh my God. So many things I found that help. I think for me, really hooking into the moment, like taking a breath, feeling my, it sounds so cheesy, but like I will literally feel my feet on the floor, take that breath and just become present and like focus on our conversation and listening to you and the back and forth. And then all of a sudden, like the voices in my head slow down. And with dating, that's also something great to do.
Yeah. I was just going to say, just like sex. It's just like, and it also, a lot of the anxiety happens before you do something, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like once you get in it, like it's fine. Like you,
it's
you know,
fine.
Before anything, yeah, it's fine. So if you can just kind of in that moment when you're having the anxiety, the breath is so important. We forget to breathe, especially during sex. Yeah. A lot of people forget to breathe.
Yeah. I get lightheaded after sex all the time. And I think it's because I forget to breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps women too with like orgasms and stuff like that. So, And I think there's also that. Telling your partner that you have anxiety, but speaking about like, okay, going back to orgasms, I'm going to go to orgasms now and breath. So many people who have sex with women, like they don't understand that. First of all, it's not just about, not only don't they understand vaginas, but they don't understand that it's really not just about the orgasm.
No.
Although orgasms are important.
Yeah.
And so I think I want to get into a little bit more about just, understanding women, bodies and orgasms and sex. And I know I could do, I was like, we could do an entire show about this, about like oral sex and stuff. But I think that I know you wrote a blog about, we've written probably a ton of blogs about like oral sex tips and stuff. And I know that I've been talking about it a lot for like 12 years, but some things like don't get across. And when I read your blog, it was like, I always say tease, right? I'm always like, and I have like male co-hosts typically. Lately, I do. And there's like, what do you mean? Like men. And so I was like, what do you mean tease? Like, I don't get it. Guys are like teasing. And I'm like, please. And you're like, I don't understand why. It's such a hard concept, but it's like almost everything. Like I feel like the times when I'm teasing, and it's not like, it's not teasing you like you think. It's like approaching and then pulling back and approaching. And it's such a huge part of like,
it's such a turn on.
It like almost works out. It's almost like the sure thing.
Yeah. I mean, and I think tease is everything.
Right. And I like don't, what did you write here? Like I copied it because I was like, you know, like, you wrote like, then before you even get to her clit, kiss her inner thighs, pelvic area, go slowly, get into it, you know, get into it, keep teasing. You know, you can tell how excited she is by putting your finger down there. Like, is she wet? Like, and before you go in for the, like the kill, like breathe hot air on her, like go back to her inner thighs. Like, it's like this whole, don't go right for the clitoris. And I can't, I've said it a million different ways, but like, what else would you add to this?
I mean, surprisingly, like women, women lovers I've had.
Tell me, do
they struggle with it too? They just go right in for the kill sometimes. And I'm like, it's the whole art of the tease. For me, sex is all about like, make me beg for it. Like, do not give it to, I don't want something I can have easily. I'm very like female that way. Most women are. And I'm all about the like you were just saying, like kiss around the thighs, breathe a little air, maybe do it for a second and then go back to the thigh. So she's like tortured.
And
you can feel. Yeah, you can feel when she's at that point where she's moaning and she's begging. And, you know, even if you think like, okay, I've really let it go on for a while, keep going. Right. Chances are it probably isn't.
It probably isn't.
Yeah.
I always say like go 5 times slower than you think you should. Like you That's think you're going tip. Fast. Yeah. Go like slow it all down. Like slow it down and breathe yourself.
Yeah.
And like pay attention. So what are some other...
I mean, it doesn't feel good when someone's just, for instance, my body needs to be warmed up,
right?
You know, and like, it doesn't feel good if somebody just goes right in for the kill. I'm not into it.
Women do this too. Women do this to you because you feel like
less than men. Because I've had sex with men. Yes. Definitely less than men, but some do, especially when they're, I find that like when they're newly out and they're really excited and they're like, oh, girl body, I'm so excited. Like they become overwhelmed almost like when you hook up with a young guy, right. You know?
Exactly.
And I'm like, girl, slow down. Like, you know, I know we're excited. Girls are touching each other. Exciting, but like calm down.
Like it doesn't even feel good. Like I don't know how else to explain. It's like, it's like scratching your own back doesn't feel as good as someone else. I'm trying to think of a good example. When you just touch me, like it's cold, like it's not even, I can't feel it. Like it doesn't, like that does not feel good when I scratch my own back. If you just touch me, I can't, you go right down, I'm not turned on, and you put your hand in my pants. I literally feel nothing.
I feel nothing. Like, I go cold maybe dead pain. Down there. Dead. Yeah, maybe I'm uncomfortable.
And maybe
yeah.
like hungry and I want to leave or something. Yeah. Like, I don't even know. I'm over it. It I just
start
doesn't
daydreaming.
Even.
I start thinking about like the work, articles, what I have to do this week. I mean, it's not pleasant at all. No. So I think that's the biggest thing. I also think like using your hands. I feel like I've definitely been with so many people who just go right in with the tongue. It's like, no, you have a hand. Use it.
That's what they're there for.
That's what they're there
that
for.
That could be so useful. Right. Like use it. And like, not all women like fingers inserted necessarily, but like the labia, it's not just the clitoris. I hope you know where the clitoris is, but just like the labia, like all around, they're using your fingers to like massage like her lips and
Totally. And I also think like, Not only slowing down, but don't go so aggressively. You know, I think that especially men don't realize, and some women, shockingly again, some women don't realize it's a sensitive area. You know, it's not like a penis. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's delicate, sensitive area. So you don't have to go so hard.
Right.
You know,
I always think it's like the lighter, the soft licks or the breathing, like even almost like butterfly licks or kisses.
Like, and I think rhythmic too, like circular, like if you find a spot that's working and she's really into it, and like don't move the
Move. Don't stop. Like there's a reason why you guys all know that.
Yeah, we lose it so easily. It's like you the finger veers slightly or the tongue veers slightly, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's gone. Do you know what I mean?
Oh God, do I know what you mean? I just got really upset right now.
Stay, yeah, stay there.
Right, exactly. God, it's so chill. What about breast play, nipples, all that stuff.
I love I mean, I love that.
Do you feel like most women you're with like that or they don't? Or do you think it changes from...
I think it changes from woman to woman. It's interesting. Like I've also dated some girls in the past who feel very disconnected from their breasts, I think.
Yeah.
And I've had a few partners who are much more into like pleasing the woman, and they've explained to me later it's because they didn't feel that comfortable in their womanness. They felt maybe a little bit more male. So if you touch their breasts or you, for instance, you know, try and penetrate them with your fingers, it feels foreign to them,
right?
And they don't like it.
But have you taught them to like learn to relax and like it? They just
tried, but sometimes it's really deep rooted. Like I've definitely tried. And I think as people get older and start maturing, that becomes a little bit less.
Right.
But if you imagine if you grow up gay and you feel like you identify more with boys,
right,
and you're very tomboyish, you know, maybe more on the sort of butch end of the spectrum, you just don't feel connected to your womanness at all.
Yeah, no, I get that. And boobs are, because I just did a whole thing a few episodes ago. I was like, can we just talk about boobs? Like, just kind of breaking down like the nipples and like what feels good for women, because I think it's confusing for a lot of people. Like,
I think so.
They just ignore it, or like, people are confused, and so.
But I personally love breasts, and I love to have my breasts played with, and I think it's sad when people ignore
breast
it.
Tips, I know. Well, I was just having some, believe it or not, no, people like bad sex, like just bad, not too many, but like in a row, like guy who was like, really, like you don't, like you skipped right over
like, the whole
body. I thought
body.
Guys love boobs. I thought you loved it. Like what part of this did you not see?
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time on that on a show. I'm like, listen, people.
Well, there's so many sweet spots. And I think like you should tend to those before you go to the clit.
Right.
You know, before you go right into that.
That was my point.
Play with
like,
the boobs.
Stop. Play. Yeah. lick around.
Curves, yeah, all of that. Curves. Collarbones, like
necks. Why doesn't the neck kissing happen as much as it should? I don't understand. Like, yeah. It's so sensitive for men and for women.
Yeah.
It's very confusing to me.
I think it goes back to what you're saying. Slow down and like be present. There's no rush.
Right.
You know, unless you're having a quickie, which is a whole other thing.
Right. But that's like, fine. Every that's once fine. In a while.
Yeah.
But not every time.
Not every time.
Especially not with a new partner. Like if you're, which was my experience. And then I shut it down and I got dinner. Okay. By myself. Okay. Let's do some emails. We're going to get in some emails. I was like, oh, wait, I need you to help me here. Answer emails. Okay. If you have a question you want me to answer on the show, I love that. Just go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Ask Emily tab, fill out the form, hit submit. So easy. Check the box if you want to be called, and we'll set up a call with you. You can also leave me a voicemail at 818-ASK-SWE1. And as always, leave me your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Okay, ready? Hey, Emily, I was in a relationship for about 8 months that ended in July, which is long term for me. I usually end relationship at the 3 month mark. Anyway, I took a few months off to heal from the breakup, and I've had a few months of fun. I've started a date again in hopes of a relationship, and I can't get a good date. I've tried all the dating apps, and it just seems like the guys I meet It seems like the guys I meet just want to get laid, or they just come to the date super high. Mm-hmm. I've also met guys in person and just asked them out, but I just can't seem to connect with someone. Am I doing something wrong? Do you think it's just bad luck? How can I open myself up to connecting better, or how can I make sure I go out with guys who are looking for a relationship? Haley, age 26, Texas. That's a very relatable question. I mean, I think that we've all been in that place where like, what am mm-hmm. I doing wrong? Like, is everybody just not interested, or does everybody suck, or whatever it is? And I think also since dating right now, I guess, I mean, I never went back to that from that article. Like, is it the hardest time? Is it more complicated now than ever? I think it's all relative. I think people, mm-hmm. whenever you're single, you think it's complicated, but perhaps now with all the options and online dating and people delaying marriage, so you're dating for a lot longer, that it is challenging right now. So I just think it takes practice, because it sounds like, you know, the guy she's going out with, like, I think, what about vetting people before you date? Like, what's your experience with finding Zara more like suitable mates when you're dating, or people that are better matches?
I think the apps are not a good way to go when you're looking for something serious, even though I've met my girlfriend on Tinder. But when I met her, I was actually like, we were like, oh, let's just be like hookup buddies. But it didn't work out like that. But I think that the websites are better. Like, I think OkCupid or like eHarmony or Match tend to draw in people that are more serious. I think especially eHarmony and Match, because I think when you have to pay a little bit, you're investing in wanting to find someone. So it's going to be people who are looking for something
deeper. That's a great point. That's a really good, and I still hear that today. I think people think that's done, or I should be just swiping, but I'm so glad you brought that up, because.
No, definitely. I mean, I went on OkCupid a few years ago just because I knew Tinder was like that. It was just people looking for hookups, or, you know, and I found like people who were more mature and looking for relationships. But I also think, you're not doing anything wrong. It's just really hard to connect with someone.
Right.
It's really hard to meet someone that is authentic, that you connect with. And I think the more complex and interesting and multifaceted you are, the harder it is to meet someone.
Absolutely.
You know? So you're asking yourself, like, what am I doing wrong? Probably nothing, girl.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably them. You just are not finding someone you're connecting with, because you're super cool and you're living your life and you're doing a million things. And instead of getting upset about it, when you go on a bad date, just think of like what a good story it's going to be.
Just tell them you're on Prozac and like your OCD or something.
Tell them you're OCD.
Which is like nothing.
Mess with their heads. Do what I do. And, you know, maybe like start like a funny blog or email chain with your friends where you guys all tell like your horrific dating experiences. Don't take it so seriously. And instead of looking for someone too, like you're 26, this is such a good time in your life. Like, maybe channel that energy into doing something completely awesome.
Yeah. Exactly. Or and when you're doing that awesome thing, like let's say you're looking for a new career, you're looking to like, you know, Haley, grow in your profession. Like, there's things you could do, or like start a new hobby. I mean,
hobbies.
Like, take a class, do
the
something like that.
Lost art of the hobby. I always say that.
Does anyone have hobbies anymore?
I feel like no one. I had that breakdown like a few months ago. Where I was like, do I not? All I do is work one. Or go Same. Out. Like, I don't have hobbies. But then I thought when I was little, like, what did I love to do? Like, I loved to draw, not because I was like good and wanted to be professional, but because it gave me joy.
Right.
Or I like to like go to an acting class or like an improv class. Like, what did you like love to
tasting, do? Like wine tasting or like that kind wine of thing. Wine tasting. They could do so many different things like that yeah, exactly.
Book
that
club. You're interested in. I mean, I just actually joined like a feminist book club.
Oh,
and
love
it's
it.
It's so fun. We get together with wine. We read a different feminist book. Like, we talk shit. We break it down. We all get emotional. And it's like, find a book club, honestly.
Right. That's a great power-y suggestion. And like, tell your friends also, let people know that you're single. I always say, like,
yeah,
if you,
yes,
let everyone you know, like, just be like, hey, if you know any good people, because they might not know in that moment, but they might meet someone. You never know. So my question is for you quick, Zara, what about vetting people before you went on dates? Did you ever like, Not just Google, yeah, like track,
of course.
Not just stalk them. Of course we do that. But like, do you ever like FaceTime them before or do anything like that?
You know what? I am so oddly, like not in these kind of situations, but I'm so shy, especially when it comes to talking on the phone or FaceTime, that to me seems terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm better in person. I think I dated somebody. It was like a weird long distance OkCupid flirtation. And we FaceTimed a few times, but then I realized that was just like me projecting. Like I was going for someone who lived far away because right, I could project my fantasies onto them. Right. But I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking about it lately because I'm like, well, I don't, my time is so precious. I don't want to waste a night or even an hour driving across town and then getting ready like with someone I don't like. And my friend was like, look, I always FaceTime. I've just been, I don't know. I haven't
gone
on that many dates. I know. I was like, you would kind of like have that moment of, like maybe knowing or hearing, even talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Like I feel like talking, even just talking for like two minutes and just hearing like, can you put sentences together? Is there a connection?
Yeah.
Although some people give bad phones. So I just think it's another layer maybe from not having so many bad dates.
I mean, I think I do vet people with like, I'll try and go like, do we have even texting chemistry? I think you can feel what their sense of humor is. And you know, like maybe when you're texting and you're planning on meeting up, go a little bit deeper. And ask them, you know, like a more serious question or maybe like ask them what they like to do or like, you know, something like that that's going to be really revealing.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So if you're phone phobic like me and most millennials.
They are, right?
Yeah. Oh,
you can't
definitely.
Look for like, what?
I know.
So it's calling who died.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Terrible. Right. I get it. Yeah, that's a good one. I think, Haley, you've got this. So like, just don't be hard on yourself. It's true. Your 20s, think about it as like, it's an experience right now. Like it's not looking for the one and the relationship and you just had an 8-month relationship. Like it's pretty good. Like just see if you can have experiences with people.
Yes. And each bad date is going to bring you closer and closer and closer to finding like a cool person. That's
right.
What I've noticed. Anytime I got upset about like somebody not liking me back, it always ended up like I found something so much better.
Right.
And I realized like, thank God it didn't work out with that person.
Absolutely. Okay, we've got one more. Hey, Emily, I recently discovered your podcast on Spotify and instantly got hooked. My confidence in my sexuality has skyrocketed. My question for you is this. How do you initiate casual sex with someone without it coming across too forward? I've only ever had sex with my ex-boyfriend. We broke up a year ago, so I'm inexperienced in terms of sleeping around. I've dated around and decided a relationship is not what I want now because I have a lot of jealousy issues that came up in my last relationship. So I'm looking for something with no strings attached. I like the idea of having sex casually so I can learn what I like. I've been speaking with a few guys that I've known for years and they seem interested, but I don't know how to start off the conversation about starting to have casual sex. It's been a long time since the last time I sexted, so I'm a little shy in that area. Any advice would be appreciated. Lydia, 18, Manchester, England. So, So she just wants to have casual relationships. Lydia, you're looking for have casual relationships and want to know how to start it with people. I think you got to meet up with them and it'll just kind of happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have definitely been in that place where I'm like, you know what? I don't want to catch feelings and I need to work on myself. That's really cool. I mean, you realize you have jealousy issues and you don't want to carry that baggage into your next relationship. So like, good on you for that. But I think it's okay to sort of, like you're saying, meet up with them and be honest.
Be honest.
Yeah.
They'll be so happy to know. Probably they're attracted to you too.
Got a friend.
Who knows? And if not, maybe they, you know, you go out with a group of people too. Like that could be helpful too. Like meet up with a bunch of friends and then start to practice. Like I think it's more of like a flirting and being open. I think for a lot of women and men, we kind of shut down our sexual energy we put out there.
Yeah.
And you can be flirty with people that you don't actually even want to have sex with.
Oh my God, I flirt with everyone.
I flirt with everyone too. I feel like I've gotten less flirty.
Yeah.
Like not it wasn't even a conscious thing, but I feel like that was my thing for so long that whenever I dated someone, they were like, you flirt with everybody. You're so flirty. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And maybe I just, LA is different or my life has changed, but I think it's, and it was never because I was, just who I am. I think just when you're friendly, people think it's flirty. So I think if you're just, these are your friends, you can go out with them. I think you might be overthinking it because if you, Lydia, because I feel like if you just go hang out with these guys that you've been friends with and it sounds like they were a little bit interested, I think you just start talking to them when you're out and you'll just kind of say to them like, hey, what do you think about that? Like broke with my boyfriend. Like,
yeah,
things would be kind of fun to like kind of hang out more. Like I'm not looking for anything serious, but I feel like I have this chemistry. I always think about making out with you.
Yeah.
Like you'll be making out in like 2 minutes.
Exciting.
Oh my God, they're so
that's
happy.
That's like a guy's dream to hear,
like,
you know?
The biggest dream. Like that's all he's ever wanted, Lydia,
however,
I guarantee.
You have to be careful in the sense that anytime I've tried to do this is when people end up like liking you. You know what I mean? I think especially with men, the second you're like, I don't want anything serious. Let's just absolutely. Like, you know, be like friends with benefits. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's cool. And then like, They because everyone's drawn to that unattainable energy. So
y'all
just be aware
we can't
of that.
Have, exactly. Be wary of that. I feel like that was, that was the main thing. And I was not even, like, I never really did want anything serious for so long. And my friends were like, why do all these guys, like, why do they like you?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm being honest. I really didn't get it. But it is kind of true. We want what we can't have. But also the thing is with, that was just, so yeah, look out for that. But also the thing with friends with benefits is that, eventually someone's going to, I mean, it's great when it works.
Yeah.
And it will work for a while until somebody wants
date.
More.
There's
always an expiration date. So Lydia, be careful of that because you've jealousy. Let's just talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
This FWB thing, if you have jealousy, is not might not be so easy for you.
Yeah.
It's still going to rear its head if you...
I mean, it's hard for me, you know, like if I'm sleeping with someone, I don't want them. Even if I say, oh, you can go sleep with other people. If I find out that you are, I can't handle it.
Right.
So
like, just love me. Like, how could you even have done that?
I'm not enough, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Totally.
God, it's so hard. We all know the answers, but we all struggle with the same thing.
Completely.
So we are one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zara. This
Thank
was so,
you so
fun.
Much. This was so fun. I love this. Yes.
Thank you for being here. And how can everyone find you?
Well, ZaraBerry.com is my website. You can find all of my articles except for the ones I'm deeply ashamed of that are really bad. I spared you guys from. So I write a lot for Elite Daily. I also write for Go Magazine, which is a lesbian magazine. It's really cool. And you can find me on Instagram, ZaraBerry, Twitter at Factory Girl, and Facebook, ZaraBerry Words.
Awesome. And we'll have all this on our website. And thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
Here.
This
awesome.
Is great.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Also, thank you to Madison and Eddie and Michael and Lori and Jamie and Ken and my amazing team. My amazing listeners, I love you all. Thanks so much for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.